Well, grace, mercy, and peace be with you here this day from our triune God. If you have ever driven across the U.S. Using I-90, which is that northern route, well, then you have probably seen signs for Wall Drug. Located in Wall, South Dakota, Wall Drug is a totally schmaltzy, middle-of-the-nowhere tourist trap. And yet, this is the place to stop. Why, we might ask? Well, it's because around 1936, the family who was operating Wall Drug at that time figured out that they were still on the road to somewhere. Wall Drug's claim to fame is that when Mount Rushmore was completed and opened, Ted and Dorothy Hudstead, the owners of this little mom-and-pop pharmacy and soda fountain shop way out in the boonies of South Dakota, decided to advertise their little business by erecting this series of Burma-shave-style billboards along the route leading to this amazing new tourist destination. And what did they offer? They offered you free water and the use of their bathrooms so that all of those parched and pooped summer travelers snaking their way along that hot summer plain to Mount Rushmore had a place to go. And people stopped in for the free ice water and for the free use of the restrooms. And they did so in droves. But you know something? They also stayed for an ice cream cone or to purchase a postcard or to get a donut. Eventually, Wall Drug became the destination stop on the road to another somewhere. Now, the first few billboards along I-90 eventually grew to over 500 miles of billboards, blanketing the entire upper Midwest with how many miles to Wall Drug. And those signs attracted over 2 million tourists every year. 2 million tourists to a still small by mall standards collection of tourists shops and cowboy-themed stillnesses like, or silliness like the giant jackalope statue that they have there. But they still offered free water, not to mention free coffee and donuts if you happen to be a veteran or priest or honeymooners or a truck driver. Now, currently, there are how many mile to Wall Drug signs in places as distant as Afghanistan and Antarctica, which, by the way, is 9,333 miles away from Wall Drug. You see, what Ted and Dorothy Hudstead figured out was that they weren't on the road to nowhere, but that they were on their way to somewhere. And that those who were on the way needed to be offered a cup of cold water, refreshment for the journey. Well, here we are now in this second week of Advent, on the way, but still a good distance away from Bethlehem. It's a journey that requires some spiritual sustenance along the way for us. And in this morning's gospel reading that we have from Luke, he offers to us this very specific form of refreshment. Now, it is not like some empty calorie sweet stuff. If you want that, if that is what you are after, well, then all you need to do is to tune in to all of the fluffer and nutter stuff that you find on the Hallmark Channel. Schmaltz that is 24/7 throughout this entire month of December. However, Luke offers something much more substantial here. The water that Luke offers to us who are on our way on that Bethlehem pilgrimage is a deep draft of real, authentic history. Now, first, Luke reminds us of just how politically polluted the environment was back in first century Palestine. Tiberius Caesar was emperor. And you might recall that at the end of his reign, he went completely mad. And he terrorized the entire populace and was responsible for exiling all the Jews from the city of Rome. And then we have Pontius Pilate, which was another political hack, who managed to completely alienate the Jewish citizens that he governed over by belittling all of their religious beliefs. Oh, and let's not forget Herod Agabus, whose sordid family relationships is what caused John the Baptist to speak out against him, and then who ultimately was arrested and beheaded. So not only does Luke here give us this lineup of roadblocks, all of these political figures who would oppose God's plan for the salvation of the world, but also the religious walls of resistance that was sustained and maintained by no less than the dynasty of Annas and his offspring, his high priest son-in-law, Caiaphas. What a litany of characters who chose to stand against Jesus. Now, ultimately, this lot of Jesus haters would have been washed away by the tides of time and providence. And all of these shadowy, somber details that we find here in Luke's gospel should remind us, we Bethlehem Road travelers of 2018, of just how rocky the road we travel still is. Yet Luke's details give us more than just a list, you see, of bad guys here. Luke provides us with a history, with an authenticated account of these Noah accounts, these highly born, high brow, high heels who were involved in all of that first century plots and scheming and proceedings that took place. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe right now that at last count there was somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 reality TV shows currently on the air. And we might want to ask ourselves the question, well, why do we have so many of them? Why are they so popular? Well, I believe that this is because of our present-day culture, which seems to be absolutely addicted to stories. We are mesmerized by the stories of stuff and the tales of things. For example, tune into any one of those reality TV shows about antique collectors, or junk store treasure hunters, or pawn shop operators, or professional pickers. And you'll witness a huge procession of cracked and broken, moldy, dog-eared, off-the-wall, and just plain bizarre collectibles that people believe are worth something to somebody. Now, the dealers and the pawn shop owners and the savvy collectors of all this sort of junk from jewels are in large part because of the narrative that is behind those items. If you've ever watched any of these shows, you will know what turns a $50 item into a $50,000 treasure. It's the history, it's the story behind it. Unique things such as letters and photographs and posters and other kinds of signed documents where the history of those items are provable and verifiable brings the background story of that item to life, and that, in essence, changes everything. A proverbial sequence of events is able to reveal the story behind the story. And a good storyline is proof that people say and heard and experienced the events that encased something historic. History authenticates the story. So here in today's gospel reading, Luke provides us yet another piece of the narrative for the account of Jesus' birth. In essence, he gives us details about who is who. In other words, he names names about those who were in power at that time, those who were in charge nationally, regionally, religiously. Luke authenticates the details of the story and displays the relationships that make up the religious and the political environment into which John the Baptist came preaching, into which Jesus came to challenge and to change that status quo. And let's face it, it's not a pretty picture. But thanks to Luke, it is precise. Luke gives Jesus' story its credibility. He takes special care of all of these details and records of these authentic happenings that give the Jesus story its mission and its ministry focus. However, giving Jesus' life, death, and resurrection its credibility in the 21st century is our mission. We are the narrators of the Jesus story. We are the ones who record how the gospel is impacting us in our own lives. And the challenge for each of us here today is to allow our lives, as we make our journey down that road to Bethlehem, become that ongoing story for the Jesus story. So how is Jesus present in you today? What kind of accounting are you giving of the Jesus story as you share it with others? How does Jesus bring peace and joy and love into the world this year through you? In what ways are you a reflection of Christ working out God's redeeming love in all the world today? There's a great little story about a 3-year-old boy who was so afraid of the dark that he would call out from his bedroom at night, "Mommy, Mommy, talk to me. I'm frightened because it's so dark here in my room." And his mother would hear the boy shouting and would answer him from another room, "What good will that do? You can't see me." "That doesn't matter," the child would reply. "When you talk to me, it gets light." So when you talk to others about Jesus, does it get light? Is your life a narrative for the Jesus story? Are you on the road to nowhere, or are you on the road to somewhere, to that place where God is leading you? Amen.